This is CliffCentral.com.
Is this thing on? You're listening to The Bounce Show. It's live. Well, not this bit, but it's live on CliffCentral.com.
It's Cliff Central, Blatt.
Sorry, scrap that, delete it. CliffCentral.com.
Says she loved Tupac but hates him LL. Seen her at the bar with anklets and toe rings. She could take a prince, turn him into a king.
All right. It's the Bounce Show, mid-September. We're getting through this month nice and quickly. And it is very much the warm season here in South Africa. So that's cricket season. And it's got off to a great start already. Now, I normally have guests that are kind of like me, people who just obviously throw opinion out on the internet and we have various discussion points. But today we've got something slightly different. We've got Nkosi Nathi Mahlangu is coming in. He is the CSI manager of Momentum. Now, Momentum do great things in cricket here locally. So we just had the Momentum Ikasi Challenge. And he's very much a man who's not only supports this, but he's behind it. He's behind what it represents. And, of course, the great opportunities that come with it. And a player that is just prominently featured in the Ikasi Challenge as well will be with us. So going to be a great cricket show, start to finish. Really, really cool insights. And, again, like, I'm a firm believer that we should be doing what we can to not only promote development in all our sport in SA, but also get behind the people who are making a difference, because we often become quite cynical and always believe there's not a lot going on, but there's good people in this country doing great things. And we always know this, there's great cricketing talent, there's great rugby talent, there's great everything talent in this country. All we need to do is find out how we're going to package it. So before we get into that, the big interview today, and to catch up on actually what happened in yesterday's Momentum Ikasi Challenge, the interesting week of sports. Now, if you don't listen to the Gareth Cliff Show here on Cliff Central, well, you miss out daily, because that's my daily podcast. Every morning, 6:30, I bring you up to speed on what's going on. But it's been a huge, huge week in football so far, mostly because the Champions League is back on. Now, the thing about the Champions League is, of course, all the best teams are involved. Arsenal fans, I'm sorry, that doesn't include us, because that's not going to happen this year. The Europa League is what Arsenal fans have to look forward to. So all those jokes can now return, where normally Liverpool fans or Man United fans cop the brunt of it. Now you just place hold Arsenal fans. I saw a great tweet yesterday that said, if a guy wants to take you out on a date on either a Tuesday or a Wednesday, he's not being romantic, he's just an Arsenal fan. So this thing with these jokes, you can't ever fight them or get away from them. But just touch on rugby. Of course, Rugby Championship this weekend will be the All Blacks versus the Springboks. And one of the world's great rugby rivalries, unfortunately, has become a little bit one-sided, a little bit watered down of late. And last year in particular, cheapest, the All Blacks absolutely hammered the Springboks. Away, home, no matter where they would have played them last year, it would have ended in tears for the green and gold. I was at that match in Durban, and it was one of the saddest live performances I've ever seen. In every single way, shape, or form, it was just dreadful. So that takes place Saturday, 9:35, and the box, well, they made a couple of changes. Rowan Dreher comes in because Kuni Oosthuizen broke his arm, so he'll be in the tight end position, and then Mostert returns to the lock pairing with Ibn Etzebeth, and Peter Sefatoi goes back to the bench. So Mostert was being managed last week, so you know, obviously heavy workload with playing for the Lions. So last week was just deemed again that he was going to sit out. So it'll be interesting to see how the Bucks basically developed the season, because this is the first time they've really shown that they want to manage their players, take a much more hands-on kind of role towards their conditioning and sort of longevity as far as they'll keep performing throughout the season. Whereas in the past, it's kind of like, well, let's just play, and if they break, they break. Which is not a great way of looking at things, especially in contact sports. We've seen the All Blacks being the pioneers in this facet of play and management, and of course they are just the leaders in world rugby. So that'll be this weekend's huge attractions. Australia will play Argentina in the Rugby Championship after that match. It'll be sort of midday, 11:35 to 12. In other rugby news, the Cheetahs and the Kings, they're having a very tough time of things in the Pro 14 right now. But they both get to have home games. Now the Cheetahs in particular have quite a relatively easy game. They're playing against the Zebri, which is the Italian team that is pretty much going to finish bottom of the table here. And the Kings, they'll take on Leinster. Now, this whole tournament is about playing really, really tough opposition for the Kings and the Cheetahs, because it's like Ireland's teams. So they're playing against really, really good teams, Scottish teams. Obviously, there's the Welsh teams as well and this Italian side. But the Leinster and Munster and these Irish teams, they're really, really good. So the Kings, at least they're at home, but still, the opposition does not get any softer. In football, well, there's Champions League, so all the big teams won, really, except for Juventus, because they were playing Barcelona. Barcelona put three past them. Massive result for them. Big win for PSG against Celtic. Man City absolutely blew away Feyenoord. Man United also had a good win. They played against Basel. And then Real Madrid, they beat Apul. So yeah, all the big teams have had big results. Bayern Munich also winning. So the PSL, now, the PSL obviously has an interesting start every single year, because they play a couple of games where there's international breaks and there's cup breaks. So it takes a while for it to get going. Now, we all know defending champions are Wits, but now Wits have had a rocky start. They're out of the MTN 8 Cup. They got beaten by Cape Town City. They got beaten by Cape Town City in the league already. And, well, over the weekend, Monique Josephs had a really sort of impassioned, I wouldn't say it was a breakdown. Far from it. The man is composed and he's a man of his word. But you could just see he was really frustrated about how things are going with his team right now. And, you know, you don't see this at all in sport nowadays when players have just had enough. They'll just go through the cliches and they'll just say what they need to say until, like, the reporter basically says, well, thanks so much for chatting. But I'm going to play this clip of Monique Josephs, because it is something so different, and it also kind of, well, describes the plight of this team right now. Last night, Wits played against Golden Arrows in the league, and they lost again 3-1. So here's Monique Josephs after the loss over the weekend, which is in the MTN 8 to Cape Town City. Sorry, it's AUX cable again. I seem jinxed. I seem absolutely jinxed. Every time I want to start the show, this AUX cable does these things. Blessa, I know you're laughing in the background because you think it's me. It's really not me. Bear with me a second while I have a technical meltdown. Yeah, this is going to work better.
Hunger and the desire to wanna win games. Can't just wanna think we're going to win games with the players we have. We need to put it on the field as well.
Is that why you guys came out so early from the change room at halftime?
Yeah, that's why we came out, because there was a little bit of motivation talk inside. You know, Gavin got us worked up, and we came out and same thing again. No hunger and desire. It just went away. It's no use. We as players speak about it, that we want to go and do this, and if we come out on the few minutes, then there's nothing there, you know? We need to convert that into action and put it on the field, because that's where it counts for us as players.
I mean, I can see the tears. It's an emotional time for you, Monique. How do you transfer this desire that you're showing now to the rest of the players who are supposed to be defending this trophy and defending the league championship?
I'm not disappointed that we got knocked out. That's not it, Mr. Marawa. I'm just disappointed the way we go about it. That lack of passion. That's what this game is about. This game has been great for many of us. A lot of us have our standard 8, standard 9 certificates. We are driving nice cars. We got beautiful cars. This game has been wonderful for us. So why not give back to this game by putting in, week out? And we're lacking that. We're just lacking that. And that is where the disappointment comes for me. You know? I mean, we've won the league, so we should be more hungry, but we're not there. We're not that hungry. We're not that passionate anymore. And to get that back, I'm sure Gavin will get it right, but we need to do something. We need to do something. So don't get me wrong. I don't care about going out not playing in a final. You know, Cape Town City deserved it more. I'm just more disappointed in us as players, the way we go about in our games, you know, even when we 1-0 down, the fight to get back. You know, last season, you can't just come here and try and win. You can't just come here and win a game. We're going to hustle you in a bus because we know what it is. We wanted to win games. You know, there was a goal at the end. Now it seems like we've reached that goal and we've had enough. That's the heartbreaking part. That's the heartbreaking part.
Monique, thank you for your honesty.
There's honesty. I mean, there he is saying, guys with 7, 8, or 7, 9 certificates, football's given us so much. We're driving nice cars. We're living in big houses. Yeah, so it's like they were so good, Wits, last year. They were the underdog team. They were the guys that weren't expected to do anything. Well, they were always going to be maybe like a top four team, but they weren't going to be the guys who were then going to, like, you know, usurp the Sundowns or really keep the other teams at bay. Now, well, it's a bit of a soft start to the season all round. But Pirates had a good win. Chiefs had a good win yesterday. They beat Cape Town City in Cape Town. So, well, storylines, subplots, and all kinds of the rest. In golf this weekend, the FedEx Cup is back in action, so it'll be the BMW Champs at Conway Farms. Huge tournament that. We're now down to top 70 golfers on the PGA Tour, which then gets whittled down to the top 30 for the Tour Championships. We'll be at that next week. And the week after that is the President's Cup. So guns blazing on the golf front right now. Jason Day has gone the Rory McIlroy route, and he's got rid of his long-term caddy. Now, the guy who caddied for Jason Day to this point was basically the guy that picked him up out of the gutter. Jason Day was a 15-year-old drunk back in the day in Australia. He really didn't deal well with the loss of his dad, and this guy became a huge father figure to him, and has been everything. He's been his coach, his mentor, his caddy. And after all this time, I think 29 years, Jason Day is 29 years old. They've been together as a unit for about 15 years now. So Day wants something fresh on the bag, but this caddy will still remain his coach. So there's no rift, there's no rivalry, there's no bad blood. He just wants a change in the dynamics of his team. In the Grand Prix, it'll be the Singapore Grand Prix this weekend, which is always hugely exciting because it's a street race. And that's pretty much all you got to look forward to. From the cricket side, the World 11 are currently playing Pakistan. It is 1-1. Thrilling encounter yesterday. So they played the two matches back-to-back. First time the cricket's been, or big-time international cricket's been in Pakistan for quite some time. We all know the tragic story of a Sri Lankan team bus being shot up by some crazed gunmen there back in 2009. So none of the big teams want to go back for obvious reasons, security concerns. But this week, the ICC have also said they're putting their weight behind bringing international cricket back to Pakistan. It's all moving in the right direction. You know, last week we spoke to Dennis Friedman, who's on his way there, to kind of find out what the lay of the land is there. So it's all looking pretty good. Two good successful matches so far in Lahore. And it's one apiece. The World 11 are currently, they had a good win last night, and then Pakistan won the first one. So Friday, tomorrow, that is the decider. But let's get on to the interview section of the show today, because yesterday was the Ikasi Challenge, the Momentum Ikasi Challenge in Hammanskraal. Now, if you don't know what the Ikasi Challenge is, now you're not going to see a huge amount of press around this, like, as you would say around IPL, around maybe the Sunfall Series. The Momentum One Day Cup, of course, is an existing entity in SA cricket. Or, of course, you know, we've had the Ram Slam. Now we're going into the World T20 League, which we spoke about recently. So there's a lot of stuff that's happened locally in cricket. The Ikasi Challenge is what my, whenever I hear that, I always think start of the cricket season. So I've got two gents sitting across from me right now. Mic 2 and 3. Sorry, guys. I know I come across being professional, but I mess up the basics from time to time. And Kozinati Mkhlangu, CSI Manager of Momentum. Now, this is a man who comes from an IT background as a desktop support specialist, but you hold a media studies and journalism qualification together with a certificate in the UNISA Management Development Program in BBBEE. Kozinati, are you a cricket man essentially from the start?
Yeah, a very big cricket man, and I think being with Momentum was also a cherry on top.
Okay, we'll get into your career and things you hold dear. We've also got Alfred Matoa, have I pronounced that correctly?
Yeah.
Alfred. Now, Alfred was one of the stars yesterday in the Momentum Ikasi Challenge. Now, Alfred, you have a pretty handy average, 26 first-class matches, an average of 21.18. So you know what to do with the ball. And yesterday was, well, we'll get into what it went for your entire career. So these two gents are not only going to educate us about what's been happening around the fringes of this tournament, kind of just give us an idea of why it's important, why a company as big as Momentum has put their sizable weight behind it, and what it means to players who maybe haven't got the opportunities in the bigger tournaments just yet. So that's my understanding. Let's start with that. Now, the Ikasi Challenge is something that's been going for, what, 5 years now?
It's 5 years now, yes.
So it's been about the Highveld Strikers, Highveld Lions, sorry, yeah. Taking on, sorry, there's so many different names. I get bombarded with all the franchise stuff. So it's been about the Lions and the Titans going toe-to-toe, and the Lions have been all dominant.
Oh, yeah.
So they've won the last four.
Yeah,
they've
been dominating for the past 4 years, but yesterday it was a different ball game altogether, and the Multiply Titans, they got their first Ikasi victory.
Okay, so that's what I like about this. First of all, there's a great derby kind of tournament going on here. There's two big teams, massive rivalry, because I feel in cricket, we've lost so much identity towards the big rivalries. You know, look at rugby, you've got the North-South derbies, you've got the Cheetahs, the Sharks, all these teams, they've always got something. So that's a really cool thing. What started the need for this tournament in your mind, seeing as you are so involved from the brand side of things?
Thanks so much, Ben. I think from momentum side of the business, I mean, we're all about communities, and it's all part of the financial wellness journey that we have embarked on for the past couple of years. And with the partnerships that we have formed in the cricketing fraternity, we saw a big need for us to start engaging with communities in terms of bringing the game closer to the people, and that will also help in developing a pipeline for the youngsters to come through, access the game, and I think most importantly, to see their heroes right in the township playing top quality cricket.
For sure. Like, something I've always noticed, obviously from growing up in Cape Town, my younger days, there will be a lot of clinics that go to township areas, but that would kind of be it. So it'll be maybe a few hours here or there, not a whole bunch more. With something like this, do you believe that it's a great springboard to say, okay, right, this is a rival we've got, Titans, Lions. Is this something that has a potential to go around the country, so that the Ekasi Challenge is going to start with, say, one match, but maybe it could be a series of events that we could take around?
Yeah, I think, I mean, growth is one thing that we cannot shy away from, and it's been a good 5 years thus far. And I think as we proceed along the journey, we will be finding many ways to keep it fresh and maybe try to see how we can spread it across the townships in South Africa. But the Multiply Titans and the Bees Hub Highfield Lions have been phenomenal in the past 5 years. So, I mean, we're very grateful of that partnership. And I think the legacy that Ekasi brings to the community, I mean, it's something that you can go back to the very same facilities and see kids engaging in cricket, school cricket, development cricket. So I think it's something that we will be looking at growing as we move along.
So, Alfred, we'll get to you in a second. We should get the real nitty-gritty of this before we can talk about the match. So, as far as facilities, now, whenever I see developments, conversations come up, it's always about the fact that it's not a lack of want, it's a lack of facilities, lack of actually getting kids together and getting to play. Now, as far as identifying where these matches take place, yesterday was in Hammanskraal. Is this something that you guys are actively putting back? So, you know, obviously to have a first-class match, it needs to have a certain standard. Is this another sort of benefit to the communities that the Momentum Ekasi Challenge is uplifting resources in these areas?
Yeah, most definitely. It goes beyond the infrastructure. I mean, I'm thinking of the local businesses that will also have the opportunity to, you know, to sell to a completely new audience.
That's a good point.
And the raw talent that is being identified in those areas. I mean, when we had the coaching clinics, Alfred will attest to that. There was a young boy that that has never bowled a cricket ball in his life. And he bowled his first ball, and the guys were in awe because they could see the raw talent that just needs to be polished and, you know, guided in the right direction. Then we might have another cricketer in the couple of years to come.
So, Alfred, growing up from your perspective, what was your sort of first exposure to cricket, and what really wanted you to get into the game?
Growing up in Hammanskraal locally, I used to play football, actually.
Okay.
at the age of 13, that I started playing cricket. My brother had a local under-13 team, Ikhomotseng. So I just left soccer, and then I played cricket from there on, and then I pushed on. But I only started playing club cricket for Hammanskraal Cricket Club when I was 15 years old. So I don't even know what was a grass wicket. I played on a simam wicket, which is bumpy, you know, not realistic. So that was a thing.
So you weren't really exposed. I mean, back then there was no Ekasi Challenge, for instance. There wasn't something that's going to come and really kind of inspire you. Mm-hmm. So you're someone who's obviously driven. There was ability involved, but for your average guy, where there is no exposure, you know, I always believe that's where we're losing talent.
Yeah.
We'll always have a handful of alphas that come through who's got sheer drive and determination towards this. But in order for us to really try to transform the sport, it's a sheer numbers game. Mm-hmm. So that's where I think this challenge is now coming in. Is that something that you feel that participation in the areas that you've come into contact with has definitely increased?
Yeah, it has significantly increased. I mean, we had about 10 schools that we hosted yesterday. Right. And out of those 10 schools, 6 of them will start playing school cricket, mini cricket. And I think it will help grow the sport and get more young, talented cricketers through the pipeline. And it's all about getting the basics right at the end of the day, and making sure that they, you know, they do the right things, they get into the right habits, and they just follow the footsteps of Alfred and the rest of the team.
So when you say you're hosting schools, okay, so you're identifying schools in the area, which is obviously a great start, because this challenge is about community, as you say. Not only does it tie in with your brand from Momentum, it ties in, this is how you make sport. You've got to be a part of a community. So when you say you host them, is there a clinic where the players from both sides then interact with the kids? Is this a precursor to the match?
Yes, the day before the match, actually, we had the BizHub Hyphad Lions players and the Multiplied Titans players coming to conduct coaching clinics. And this also involves the coaches from both sides as well. And we had over 80 kids coming through to get the betting, the bowling, and a bit of life skills as well, so that they can also, you know, have a chance to have a chat, you know, about life in general. But it was a successful day all around, because, I mean, with the schools, we're very much grateful of the support that we're getting from the Basic Department of Education in also making sure that sports become part and parcel of what's happening in the school environment.
Yeah, I see that. There's a couple of things that I always find very difficult. So there's stuff that you can manage. So this challenge, fantastic. Getting kids involved, giving them an idea of where cricket can go. It's one thing about just saying, look, you can play a match and it's fun, we have a great day out. There's another thing, instilling a belief like, you know what, this is a career. This is how you can really make something of your life. And I think this is something that maybe is a lot more difficult to kind of throw out there to the kids. Where do you feel the system almost fails young talent going through the system? I know that's quite a difficult question. It's just a question I don't have an answer for, and I've failed to find one from various people in your position. So take, for instance, you got Alfred has come through. He was a young guy. And again, I would say it's got to do with drive and determination will help. But where are the stumbling blocks as far as, okay, so now his school does offer a sport. He can make the club side in his area. Where are the stumbling blocks from there that make it a little bit more difficult to say someone who goes to St. Scythians or St. John's or Cares or whatever, where they know that their school system obviously allows them to make a much easier progression to those ranks?
True. I think it all begins with access. And what I like about this is we learn as we go, and there isn't a perfect formula to this, but it's all about access to facilities. And I think working closely with the club structures, the hubs, it also helps in terms of bringing about the understanding of the game, to say there is a sustainable livelihood along the way, but this is where it all begins. Because hence we having cricket and education running parallel. It's because not every kid would become a pro tier player at the end of the day. But we want to build a holistic individual whereby they can also be contributing positively to the community and be economically active in one way or the other. So sport becomes that catalyst that brings about that change. And I think it's one way of looking at how we can transform lives through cricket, because that's one sport that was not really popular in the communities that we're bringing Ekasi Challenge to.
Right.
So I think with this exposure and also telling more of the stories of Alfred and the other guys that walked the path, it will also give others that aspiration to say, I also want to walk the path. I also want to be that guy that came from nowhere to become a person on that big stage.
Exactly. So Alfred, like, what does it feel like going back to, say, yesterday when, you know, you grew up in the area and, you know, becoming a professional cricketer and, you know, to be coached by a guy like Mark Boucher, or to stand next to the likes of all the best talents in this area right now, to be able to take it back to your home, your town essentially yesterday, like, that must have felt extra special. It wasn't just about doing something you love, it's about being somewhere you love. And in that moment must have been hugely special for you.
Overwhelming. Going back home, you know, seeing the kids coming in and families around, you know, people screaming my name, Alfred Shimani, that's my other name. People dancing, you know, enjoying themselves, and they kind of like lift me up a bit. And I was nervous and excited at the same time, but they kind of helped me out in that. So it was lovely. Parents were there. My daughter was there. You know, it is lovely. It was happy.
Now, from your side, of course, breaking into a team like the Titans isn't exactly an easy thing. I mean, there's just talent aplenty. This isn't just like, well, we'll get the best of Pretoria. I mean, people from around the country play in these top sides, and the Titans have a legacy of success. They're probably one of the most successful domestic franchises when you look at all forms of the game. Mark Boucher's now in charge of the coach. You've got real stars, and that's always been the way there. What do you reckon has been, like, the most important kind of catalyst for you getting to where you are now? You know, obviously, like you said, you grew up, you're playing for your club at the age of 15. There's obviously been hugely difficult times to get to this point. What were some of the positives that you can really find through your journey so far?
Obviously, I knew that making it into the Titans setup will be a bit tougher, and I needed to work hard. You know, not playing school cricket and not being recognized by other coaches, you know. I had to leave to go to Limpopo and try and make a side that side, to make a name for myself. And, you know, and then I came back to the side and I worked hard and I said, listen, I want to play for the Titans. And I always wanted to play for the Titans. But as the Titans, you know, I name it the best franchise in the world.
About to see that now with the T20 League as well. Yeah. Get some more global experience.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, coming into the team, a lot of experience. A lot of the guys are playing international cricket now. You know, a lot of the guys are getting call-ups. So it's tough to get into the team. But, with hard work and motivation from coaches, you know, it's the coaching staff has been brilliant as well. So Magbacha being coach and he played, you know, cricket for long, international cricket for long. So it's really good. Being Chris Morris and Arby Morkel into the team, Dean Ogers, you know, it's really good. It's really good to have in the team.
So you touched on something that's quite interesting there. I think, again, we don't pick this up in the media, is that when you don't go to one of the big schools, you know, when you go into these trial matches or you're playing for regional sides, you become identified from an early age. I remember from school, the A team was very similar from year to year. And this doesn't necessarily mean it's the best team in your school. It's just that these guys have been known. Coaches know of them. They're in the right places, the right times. Like, it's the same in business. Sometimes you have this sort of, you're the right sort for something. When you're on the outside looking in, it must be so, so difficult. Is it like, you know, because now not only do you have to be good at cricket, you've got to kind of stand out. You've got to be noticeable. And that in itself as a young kid, you know, is that something you can be taught? You know, like for someone who's going to be, say, 14 coming up now, what kind of advice could you dispense in that respect as far as standing out and being someone that people just can't help but notice?
If you're struggling to make a side in provincial levels, you know, like I did, I struggled to make under 17s, you know, under 19s, but I didn't stop trying. I worked hard at the club cricket side. I played for their first team when I was in the Premier League, and we got dropped. Played a lot of promotion league, and when I was done with school, I was supposed to go to Coke Week, and because I was out of school, so I couldn't go. And then I played a few 3-day games, friendlies, and it was lovely. And I actually got a bit of a taste, and I said, well, this is actually where I want to be. And if I work hard enough, I might get something in the next 2-3 years. And then 2013, that's when I made my amateur debut. Mike Charlton was the coach of the team, and then I played 3 years for them, and it was lovely. Just keep working. I mean, you'll never know.
But it's almost like, do you find that when you get older, you understand what hard work really is? Because it's one of those things, like a bit of a cliche. Everyone knows they've got to work hard. But for some people, they believe it's just kind of being there. How is it from your amateur days to now? How has such work hard changed for you?
I mean, coming from Harmon Scroll and with the hard work that I've been doing, I just said to myself, listen, I want to play for the Titans. I don't want to go back home. And because my brother, it was actually my brother's dream to play for the Titans. And then I said to him, listen, I'm going to make you proud one day. And I remember my words. And when I got my Titans contract, he was the first guy I actually wanted to talk to and say, listen, I got a Titans contract. But my whole family was there. So I kind of like told everybody that, listen, I'm at the side. So it's a good thing for youngsters to keep pushing and keep dreaming, you know. Me playing in Harmon Scroll, going back home, and I saw a lot of the boys that I was coaching there, and quite happy to see me. So from now on, they'll definitely work more harder, you know, to say, and I believe in the system works, and I wanna move on with this. So yeah.
But also knowing that the system does work, so the fact that the Momentum Kasi Challenge is coming out to these places, that just gives you a glimmer of hope. Like, it's not just about a pipe dream here. There's a system in place. Now, of course, Nati, you know more than anybody that sponsoring sport isn't just about putting money up anymore. The CSI factor is a huge deal, and you can't just... I mean, I know historically a lot of companies, if the CEO likes a certain sport, they'll sponsor it. Tax write-off, happy days. But now the CSI factor is a huge deal, and it kind of defines what a brand does. And sometimes a sponsorship opportunity can kind of have a negative effect because it's not being properly done. Now, you're someone who is so hands-on. What is it about going forward now? Some of the sort of like aims and ambitions and momentum to take this further. You guys have made a great start with this challenge. No doubt about it. 5 years. Anything that could last for 5 years has staying power.
True.
Tough Central has been going for 3. We're working hard to get to 5. What are the sort of things that you want to kind of keep adding and evolving to something as an initiative like this?
Yeah. Thanks, Ben. I think with this one, it's all about strategy alignment, and from the momentum side of things, we don't look at this as a sponsorship in a way. It's more of a partnership with Cricket South Africa and the franchise teams, because we're trying to have a common ground, to have a space where we can be free to share ideas, and also look in terms of how we can impact the country, how we can fully have that long-lasting impact. And it's all about the legacy in terms of going forward. What type of an impact are we giving in terms of life? And also looking at our financial wellness journey, as I alluded on it initially, to say with sports, we're looking at a partner that is willing to go the distance with us. And I think the partnership that Momentum has with Cricket South Africa has been a magical one over the years, hence the renewal of the contract a couple of days ago. So we're looking forward to more innovative ways of impacting people through sport, and also being that unifying catalyst in a society.
Now, when you look at cricket, you look at development, all that kind of stuff, the focus is purely on players 99% of the time. In my belief, and many others echo this, is that the coaching in South African sports isn't what it could be. Is this something that's also worth identifying as a separate concern? Because you can take a player like Alfred, you can develop him, but who are the coaches coming through? It can't just be players that have maybe finished their careers. They're now 40 or whatever, mm-hmm. and then they're going to get into it. I think we've got to be more progressive when it comes to identifying coaches and developing skills, so that there's a greater base of people who can teach and develop the players.
Yeah.
Is this something that you believe that could help maybe put more time and effort into?
Well, I think it boils back to planning. Medium-term goals are, long-term goals are. And I think it's something that is part and a parcel of the vision that Cricket South Africa has in terms of what type of brand of cricket we'd like to see South Africans playing, and what type of coaches we'd like to bring in our shores, or maybe coaches that we would like to develop. I mean, case in point would be the Pisa Highfield Lions coach, Jeffrey Toyana. He's been a phenomenal coach through the years. So we're looking at impacting the sport in a way that we can grow our own timber, and also making sure that we compete at the highest level against our international counterparts as well. So it's all about a journey that we would like to embark on. But I think Cricket South Africa has got a bigger vision in terms of where they would like to see South African cricket as a whole going forward, from the player's perspective and the coaching side of things.
Because you mentioned as a whole, I mean, Alfred, as well, when you were growing up, obviously your dream was to play cricket. Like you said to your brother, I'm going to do you proud and get this happening. But a lot of the time, I'm sure there's a stat probably like 3% of all kids who reach a certain level actually kick on and be in the seat where you are right now. How much do you think that awareness around other careers in cricket should be thrown out there as well? So coaching is one. I mean, there's people who can go on to do wonders in media, who can basically be in a position like I am, mm-hmm. who then dedicate their lives to promoting the match. Is this as well something that Cricket South Africa guys in your position should be promoting as well, if you are going to be involved in schools?
Yeah, most definitely. Hence, education becomes a very key factor when it comes to cricketing activities, because we're not only focusing on what's happening on the field of play, but also making sure that we contribute to the economy and other career paths that are available through the sports of cricket. I mean, we can have your physiotherapists coming through the ranks. You can have your coaches.
Of course.
Yeah. So with the schools, that's why it's so important for kids to remain at school, to remain in school, so that we can make sure that we tap into that talent and also expose them to opportunities that can enable them to further their studies apart from playing cricket, so that they could also have careers that they can build through being involved in cricket. So it's a holistic approach, and it's not a one-size-fits-all type of an approach as well,
sure.
because each case has to be looked at in its own merit. So, but we're trying to make sure that each and every partner that we're pulling along is a partner that has the same type of a vision, and we're sharing the same objectives in terms of where would we like to see South Africans, young and old. And most importantly also, I think it speaks to bringing fans into the stadiums, because it's very important to have people fully supporting cricket and coming to watch the games. So hence we're trying to bring it to the townships through Ekasi, and also having the same people going to the Wanderers, going to Super Sports Park as well.
Yeah, exactly. They're being part of the journey. Let's get more into the sort of cricket side of things, this World International T20 thing. There's been a lot of hype. There's been a lot of speculation. There's been the bidding section. Alfred, from your perspective, what does it mean to know that there's like another avenue as far as international cricket is now going to be promoting towards all the franchise in this country? Do you feel that it is something that could really benefit the local players, or is it because it's at a very international event? I mean, there's another thing that South Africans need to understand is that international owners, international say on things. What's your take as a player? I mean, is this something that you're excited about as an opportunity, or is it more of a wait and see to see if it really does benefit local players?
I'm really excited about it. I mean, there's a lot of young players coming in into the franchise level sides, so they actually... them getting a chance to play in that with international players and some of the national players, and it'll definitely benefit them as well. So I'm just waiting to see, but I'm really excited about it. I mean, I know they're gonna enjoy it. I mean, T20 cricket is like the IPL as well. I mean, it's really amazing. You know, we're gonna get crowds in and into the stadiums, and people are gonna come watch. So it's really good.
Now, from your perspective, as far as everything is a journey on these things, when I see it from your where you are sitting right now in your cricket career, do you have like sort of short-term goals as far as keep you motivated and keep you in check of where you're going? So obviously getting into the Titans team as one of the starting lineup, you know, it's very difficult. When you look at how much talent is around here, huge amounts. Fast bowlers are plenty. It's a really good place where this team is right now. What are your sort of like season goals that you go forward?
And before that, before I play every game, I get a phone call from my brother, and he says, "Listen, every game is an opportunity for you to make one of the formats, you know, to be a regular in those formats." But I'm more of a long format kind of player, so. I'm really looking forward into maybe being a regular player in the 4 day squad for the Multiply Titans, and I'm not gonna lie, I need a little bit of work on my T20 and 1 day skills. And I feel yesterday I do fairly well.
Well, so, yesterday at 4 for 49.
Yeah,
that's more than fairly well.
It is really good. I mean, motivation side. I mean, going forward. I just want to see myself playing test matches one day, you know, but being reasonable. I'm going to start off and playing a lot of 4 day cricket for the Titans and push on and go forward with that.
And as far as the rivalry amongst like your fellow fast bowlers in the unit, when you get to practice, like I'm not going to name names here, but there's a variety of you guys that are going to be practicing at one stage. Like, do you feed upon each other? Like, you know, if you bowl into a certain batsman, and you know you're working on something like today, you're going to work on, you really want to get it on that good length outside off, maybe work on your seam movement, or today you're going to try work on your swing, or maybe it's the day where you really want to fine-tune your shorter ball. Is it something you guys work as a unit, or do you almost feel sometimes you guys are doing your own thing as bowlers?
Sometimes we get to play alongside each other for, you know, in the match, and then we need to communicate obviously as bowlers. Obviously, some of the bowlers will probably miss out, you know, sit out, and but we still communicate as well as they help out. But we're all different. I tell you now, all four bowlers, my competition, we're all different. I do something different, and they do something different as well. From they give the coach and the team, you know, X factor in their own way. So yeah, it's good.
And obviously within your system, you get guys who you know deep down. I mean, you know you're better than this guy, or you need to work hard for that guy. Is it something that you find like you never get, like when you're a kid, you always want to compete against people. Like you always want to be a little better than that guy, and you always try hard. Does that ever die, or is it always in your heart?
Well, I've always I thought about Philander. I want to be better than Philander.
Yeah.
I never really thought about my teammates. You know, I do what I do and they do theirs. So it's all about that. I want to go to the next level. You know, being realistic again, I know things are not going to happen that quickly, but I still need to work. You know, this will be my first season with the Titans, full season. So I'm really looking forward to it. Yeah.
Well, Alfred, I'm very keen to see the path of your story from here. It's just that, like, every kid that has gone to a school where you play sports or you grow up and you look at sport, every kid wants to be a pro, right? Yeah. Every kid wants to know what it's like to have the fans cheering your name, like you mentioned.
Yeah.
And it's just so cool to always to hear the stories that, obviously, the defining factor is lots of hard work. Nothing's ever easy.
Yeah.
And even, you know, you chat to, like... There was an interview with Ronaldo that I saw recently, and everyone looks at him. He's like the richest guy in the world when it comes to sports.
Mm.
Takes his shirt off a lot. He's living a good life. But that guy has had to work harder than anyone else, and he's still, to this day, with all the money and all the accolades and all the Ballon d'Ors, that kind of stuff, he is still probably working harder than anyone in that team. Yeah. And people say he's arrogant and this and that, but you just know there's an understanding about what greatness is. And I think we'll always keep learning that in sports, and to see that this is an exciting season ahead for you. And it really is kind of cool to see where you've got to, what you've done just to get to this point. And you know, it's almost like the work has just started now.
Yeah.
Because there's different levels to that. Alfred, I wish you all the best and congrats yesterday with 4 for 49, very much instrumental in the Titans winning this, the Momentum Ikasi Challenge, after four lean, thanks, barren years. Of course, Nati, I would love to get you in again for another chat. As far as, I believe cricket is probably the one sport in this country where everyone can have a proper go at. And when I say I have a proper go, it's like from the fans' perspective, kids getting involved, knowing that we can be the best in the world. I don't see that in football, and I don't see that in rugby. I still think there's divisions as far as availability, people just physically wanting to play. Some kids don't want to play rugby. Simple as that. They don't want to play a physical sport like that. I believe cricket has that perfect mix where everyone in this country can find something. And there's challenges. There's big challenges. I've had people in here talking about development. I've had people talking about how the quota system is going to work domestically, where the end games are here. But whatever these questions are, when there's discussion, we'll always find the answer eventually.
True.
So I thank you very much for your time today coming through. And I wish you all the best. I think Momentum as a brand, we don't do editorials here, but as a brand, Momentum has at least put their weight behind something. Because you guys believe in communities and families. That's what your business is built upon.
That's right.
You've seen how you're going to take it to cricket, and that's how we're going to build next generations. So if nothing else, I appreciate it. I see what you guys are doing, and I really, really appreciate it for, because it's going to have more players like Alfred coming through.
True.
And the whole thing about being better than Philander, more kids dream, more players put the hard work in.
Yeah,
it's going to happen.
Definitely.
That's pretty much it for the show this week. With Gareth being away this morning, I'm pretty talked out. But thanks so much to our guests for joining us. And cricket season has begun, guys. There is so much to look forward to domestically. So many good teams to go and support. And I'm not just talking about the high-profile T20 stuff. We've got great cricket facilities in this country to watch. As fans, we are really spoiled. The weather's good. The beer is of a good price. Anywhere in the world you go to, you will not get the player-fan mix that we have in this country. So I suggest that you go and support our local stars. That's about it for the Bounce Show today, this week. Go on to the bounce.co.za. Got a whole bunch of golf stuff coming up. I've got a little trip to Bloemfontein planned, where basically I'm going to be telling you what the best way of getting down to Bloem to go watch the box is, the things you need to take on if you're doing a road trip, because that kind of stuff fascinates me, as you know. Going to play out with a bit of Chainsmokers. If you miss anything, the podcast will be on cliffcentral.com or thebounce.co.za. Otherwise, catch me every single morning here on Cliff Central on the Gareth Cliff Show, where I'll be talking about sport on a daily basis. Thanks so much for joining me.
This is cliffcentral.com.